Friends, it seems to me that there are certain aspects of the Christian faith which are what we might call non-negotiable. And let me say that following after Jesus, responding to his call when he says, "Come, follow me," is non-negotiable. That's the experience of all those who would respond. That it involves following him. I cannot think of any examples in the whole of the New Testament where Jesus says to someone, "Stay exactly where you are." This following will mean, of course, lots of different things. But it will certainly involve change in your life. Once God's Spirit indwells us, as we have prayed, then a transformation takes place, sometimes dramatically, sometimes little by little. But following after Jesus will mean this, that when we come to the end of this year, you will not be exactly the same person as you are here today. Jesus never says to anyone, "Stay where you are." No change required in your life. So it is a non-negotiable, if I can put it that way, to respond as the disciples did, to follow after Jesus. But how exactly we put that into practice will always be open to interpretation and differ in practice one to another and from place to place. What I mean is this. If you're to go and spend some time among Christians in another part of the world, in a different denomination, a different expression of the Christian faith to this one, then you would find that they would do things differently. Their belief systems would be a little different to ours. How they interpret the Bible would differ to the way we do it. How they go about their worship would probably be drastically different to the way we do it. Even within a congregation, how we go about following after Jesus will not be exactly the same for everyone. And who among us would be bold or arrogant enough to say, "My way is right, and everyone else is wrong"? Think of it this way, please. I want to offer you an illustration. Most of you know that I'm a great lover of outdoors and wild places, exploring the wild places of this country and admiring from a distance the wild outdoors elsewhere in the world. Places that it's unlikely that I'll ever get to. But just because I can't go there doesn't stop me from reading and watching and studying and being amazed by our world. So, some years ago, I bought two books. One by Sir Ranulph Fiennes. And for those who don't know, I'm just going to correct myself now. The proper pronunciation of his name is Ralph. I wanted to say that because if I just said Ralph Fiennes, you would be perplexed and thought I had it wrong. Ralph Fiennes and Mike Stroud. Two fellow adventurers who together were the first people ever to achieve a journey to the South Pole, unsupported in any way. No husky dogs, no motorised transport, nothing. The two of them hauled sledges, simply under their own strength, all the way to the South Pole, and they were the first people to ever do that. So being fascinated by that back at the time, I bought both of their books. They both wrote accounts of that journey. I read Fine's book first and then Mike Stroud's book. Now here's what's amazing. They are both in their books describing the same adventure, the same expedition, but their descriptions of it vary markedly. And what struck me most was this. Both of them got to the point of virtually hating the other one, which seemed to me strange because they were both doing the same thing, they were on the same expedition, but they became so frustrated with one another that, as the books describe, at times they went days without even saying a word of communication one to another. And I think when they came back to the UK, they'd virtually fallen out and didn't communicate for some time before things were put right. Here's why. Chiefly, here's the reason that they became so at loggerheads one with another. They both walked differently. Such a simple thing. Ranulph Fiennes described himself as a slow plodder. Any slow plodders here when you go for a walk? You just kind of take your time. And you set off and you maintain almost the same pace all the way. Just slowly and methodically you get there. That's how Ralph Fiennes walks. So every morning when they struck down their camp and prepared for the next leg of the journey, they would set off. Fiennes walking at something of a snail's pace. A slow polar plod is how he described it. But Mike Stroud, he was completely different. He would race off as fast as his legs would carry him. And very quickly he would get tired out and would have to stop and puff and pant and get his energy back. And then off he would go again. They were both going in the same direction, both with the same destination in mind, but they went about it in different ways. Now, given that they both got there in the end, is it possible for us to say that one was right and one was wrong? Is there a right way to walk and a wrong way to walk? Of course not. We're just all made a little different and we go about things in a slightly different way, certainly when it comes to walking. Now, all this year, these two intrepid explorers have been climbing Munros for Malawi, and I would say that Michael and I's experience was similar to Fiennes and Stroud, only we didn't fall out. But it's inevitable. You will very rarely find two people who, when on a long walk, particularly if it involves climbing, will go at exactly the same pace. Michael will tell you there were some days on our walks when I was way ahead of him, and he must have been thinking, cursing me for going ahead. But I can tell you there were other times, particularly I remember on the very first Munro, when we were climbing a very steep, snowy, icy incline, when he was well ahead of me, and I was wishing I was 30 years younger. It's just the way of it. We didn't walk side by side all the way. We were going in the same direction, same destination. But we got there by a different means. We'll walk in a slightly different way. I want to offer you that this morning as an illustration of how it is when we set out following after Jesus. Remember what I said. The fact that we will follow after Jesus is non-negotiable. There is no Christian faith if it doesn't involve following after Jesus. But once we are out on the road, we're going to find that our following after Jesus will not be exactly the same as it is for the next person. Now, I want to state this at the beginning of the year. I think it's important to do so. You see, there's a great danger in the Christian faith. And it is that we want to press other people into our way of doing things, our way of seeing things. Which would have been similar to me insisting that Michael had walked at exactly the same pace as me, or vice versa, which would not have been natural or helpful to either of us. We need to find our way of following after Jesus. And we need to accept that for other people, their way of following will be a little different. On some things, we will agree. Actually, on lots of things, we will agree. On lots of aspects of the Christian faith, we will find agreement. We will all agree that thou shalt not murder will be part of what it means to follow after Jesus. And we could rhyme off lots of ways in which everyone will agree. But the reality is, there will be other ways in which you see it different to me or the next person. In other words, we will walk at times at a different pace one to another. This year is going to be a very important one within the life of the Church of Scotland. And here at the beginning of 2015, I've got that very much in my mind, I can assure you. Over the last number of years, the Church of Scotland, along with most other Christian churches the world over, has been wrestling with the very vexed question. The question of whether or not people in same-sex relationships are eligible or not to serve in ministry. It's been before the Church of Scotland for some years now. Towards the tail end of last year, every presbytery in the land debated and voted on the subject, and this year at the General Assembly, something close to a conclusive decision will be reached, and we will see how that works out. But not just within Presbyterianism in Scotland, but across the world, Christians are wrestling with this subject. It's not the only one, of course. And many would say there are far more important issues out there about which we should be wrestling. But nonetheless, this is the one that has come to the fore, and which needs resolving one way or another. Here's what I can say about it right now. I have Christian friends, very dear Christian friends, who take a completely different view to the one that I take. And there are many Christian friends who are very unsure about the right way forward on this subject. Here's what I think I am also sure about. In say 20 to 30 years time, we'll all be quite clear. I don't know which way, but we will all be quite clear. Which will mean that in 20 or 30 years' time, there will be some who will say, "Gosh, why didn't I see that at the time? Why was I so blind to what God was doing and the way in which God was leading that I couldn't see what God was saying about the subject? Why was I so closed off?" On the other hand, it could be that there will be a whole bunch of people who will be saying, "Gosh, why was I so persuaded that that might be a good thing? All around me there were people who were telling me that it was a grave mistake. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I hear?" If you go back 40 years, the Church of Scotland faced a different issue. It was the one of whether or not women should be admitted to eldership within the church and then to ministry within the church. Almost all Christian denominations the world over have resolved that question, and very few nowadays think of it as an issue at all. But at the time, it threatened to tear us apart. There were those who were so definite in one camp and others who were equally definite in another place. Nowadays, we don't bat an eyelid. We've come to a sense of where God led on that question. This is the way of it. We're all following after Jesus. But how we understand it, how we go about it, how we see things will differ one from another. Even within a congregation, and I'm moving on from that subject, even within a congregation, you will find different people see things differently. Some think that one aspect of our outreach is really the be-all and end-all. It's the only thing that matters. Others don't see it that way. They look on another aspect of church life and think that that is more important and more crucial to us. These are ways in which we walk differently and at different pace one to another. But what I want to say next is, I think, the most important part. What a shame that Sir Ralph Fiennes and Dr. Mike Stroud fell out. They were a team. It should have been about fantastic mutual support for one another every step of the way to the South Pole. It didn't turn out that way. They fell out because they were walking differently. What I say is this: that within the Christian church, we will walk differently in a number of ways. But we must not let that break us apart one from another. Here's what Paul has to say on the subject. First of all, in Romans, do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Do everything possible. What that means to me is this, that though I will disagree with a Christian brother or sister on one subject or another, one or other way in which we interpret and follow and live out our Christian faith, I will do everything in my power to continue in fellowship with that person, even though we disagree, even though we see things differently. It breaks my heart when Christians find themselves unable to do that. When they find themselves saying, I disagree with you, and therefore I can no longer be in fellowship with you. I find that heartbreaking, and I am sure it breaks God's heart. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everyone. This is going to be very relevant this year for our church widely. But make no mistake, it's always relevant in every congregation of the church. I'm saying that at the beginning of the year, this year as much as any year, this should be one of our banner headlines. This should be one of our non-negotiables. This should be one of those things that we're going to work at above all. That we will do everything possible on our part to live in peace with everybody, even those who are walking differently to ourselves at any given time. And then again, Paul in Ephesians, do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives, the peace that binds you together. Do your best to preserve the unity. The unity of the congregation and the unity of the church at large. The more divided the Christian church becomes, the weaker our witness becomes to the world. If we cannot find ways to continue walking together in fellowship, even when we disagree about what are sometimes very fundamental truths, then we're done. Because the world looks on and says, well, you can't even get on with one another, so why should we be interested in anything you say, the gospel you proclaim? If you can't live it out yourselves, you Christians, then why should we be interested in adopting it as our way of life? Ranulph Fiennes and Mike Stroud fell out. Michael and I walked at different paces up those mountains, but we were absolutely in fellowship every step of the way. Let that be our way as a congregation. Let that be our way as Christians, one with another, inevitably, there will be times when we walk at a different pace one to another. But let us hold dear and value the unity that the Spirit gives us, the peace that Christ died to make possible. Let us treasure it and value it and protect it at every step of the way. Let us remain as we walk in unbroken fellowship. Those who walk on faster, be an encouragement to those who lag behind. Those who are going a little slower, look ahead and be inspired by those who have found the way. We'll walk at different speeds, but we'll all follow. We're all going in the same way and to the same place. Jesus comes to us and says, "Come, follow me." Let's set out. The journey awaits. Let's take those first steps. And let's do it together. Shall we pray?